Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Revive Radio Show with your host, Saquon King, a.k.a. D. King, a.k.a. Mr. Blood Certified. And we will be invading your speakers live every Monday at 8 p.m. with music and interviews from some of the hottest urban Christian artists of today here on the Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Stay tuned.
Honestly, I love the art of hip-hop. I don't always love the message of hip-hop. You know, hip-hop is not just a mirror of what is. It should also be a reflection of what can be. And you know, a lot of times folks say, well, I want to keep it real and I want to be down. And then we're just trapped in, you know, what is. And the question is, you know, imagine something different. Imagine communities that aren't torn up by violence. Imagine communities that where we're respecting our women. Imagine communities where knowledge and reading and, you know, academic excellence are valued. Imagine communities where fathers are doing right by their kids. That's also something that has to be reflected. Art can't just be a rear view mirror. You know, it should have a headlight out there.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Revive Radio Show. This is your host, your man for the hour, blah, 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 and all the other jizzy jazz stuff that people be saying on the radio. Listen, this is not your normal radio show, but this is your normal homeboy from every single Monday night. This your boy, D. King, man. Look, we about to get live tonight. I got some good music for y'all. You know, we're going to talk about some trials and stuff like that. Just, you know, I like to deal with, you know, the things that we face. On a day-to-day basis, and sometimes allow those things to disguise themselves as something that they're not. So we're going to talk about that tonight. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about that tonight. But before we get into what we're going to get into, we definitely have to lift up our holy God. So as y'all can tell, I'm already hyped up. I'm just kind of like, I'm overjoyed. I'm just ready to get into it. So let's get into it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, 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 we thank you. You know, a million tongues would not be able to thank you enough, God. A billion tongues would not be able to thank you enough, God, for how your grace, your mercy, your favor, your love and kindness towards us, God. Without you, Father, we could not do a thing. We would not be, Father. So we just give you glory on tonight, God. We lift up your holy, mighty, matchless name, God. I pray, Father, that through this show, Father, someone's life has changed, Father. Not just someone, God, but many, Father. I pray that people give their life to you tonight, God. I pray, Father, that people are healed of addictions, God. People are healed, God, of bad relationships, God, of generational curses, Father. Have your way, God. Whatever you want to say tonight, God, I am your tool. Use me as you please, God. I am your vessel, God. Speak through me. Think through my mind. Speak through my lips, God. Have your way on this show, Father. And God, we would just glorify you because you are worthy of all praise, honor, and adoration. And there's truly no other God than you, God. There's no one who can contend with you, Father, and no one who you need to consult. You are God and God alone. You are Abba, Father. You are always with us, and we acknowledge you as God and King, Father. So I just thank you. I thank you. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. I give you the glory. God, I pray that you just have your way on tonight, God. God, just have your way, Father. So, God, I pray for that person that's listening tonight, God. I pray, Father, that they're able to receive a word from you. Put something in my heart, God, that will truly be a blessing to someone else. And God, we just give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, guys, this is the Revive Radio Show, and I am your host. And I think we're going to really have a good time tonight, man. Look, the next thing I like to do is kind of just, you know, lift up my good thing, my sweetheart, my baby, my boo. Best friend, and truly, man, God has just been just drawing us closer together, and it's been wonderful. So I'm very much grateful to God for what He's doing in my marriage, and the mere fact that, you know, we could be, we could be all messed up right now. You know, we could have so much stuff wrong in marriage right now, but we seem to be getting it right. And, you know, I wish I could just share that with everyone, you know, just the tools that God has been giving me, the wisdom that he's been giving me to be a better husband, the tools, the wisdom that he's been giving her to be a better wife. You know, it's almost like when you find a good book, you know, you want to share it with people. You want other people to read that book. Or when you go and you see a good movie, you know, like I saw Star Wars, and I thought it was great. I really enjoyed Star Wars. And I'm like, man, everybody should see this movie, you know. And it's not, you know, you go see Star Wars, it's not going to change your life, you know. You're not going to have a better marriage by watching Star Wars, I promise you. You know, you may make your husband happy because he really wants to see Star Wars. So that might make things a little bit better. But for the most part, it's not going to, like, change life for you. But when you can get some life-changing information, when you can connect with a life-changing couple, when you can allow that word to be life-changing in your life, man, that's what it's all about. And so, you know, just the direction that my marriage is in, where we are, how amazing my wife is, and just our communication, everything that's just been working for us, you know, I really wish I could just, man, just package it and just give it to a brother who's struggling, or a sister who's struggling, trying to figure out marriage or a life right now. Not saying that we have it all together, not saying we got all the answers, but doggone it, 5 answers out of 10 is good for somebody who only has 2 answers out of 10, you know? So it's not even about glorifying where we are, who we are. It's about saying, listen, what God has done for us, he can do for you. And maybe I have some keys or some tools that would be a blessing to you. So, hey, let me share these tools with you, you know, because
y'all, that it's about to go down.
I don't know where that came from, but all I can tell y'all is tonight, it really is about to go down. Listen, as a matter of fact, I got this men's group. We're meeting tomorrow, and I'm so hyped up about this group, because what God has been doing is, it's not like it's one set of men. It's like, you know, every group, every meeting is a different set of brothers. But it's like an opportunity for us to just come together, chat about marriage, about things that we're learning in marriage, things that we wish we had learned in the beginning, share information, talk about just different ways that we can be a blessing to our wives. It's not like we're coming together and, you know, just talking bad about our relationships. As a matter of fact, that's the absolute opposite of what we do. But I just feel like it's such a blessing to these brothers, man. It's a blessing to me. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what God is going to do with this in the new year. But what I call the group is called Bridge. And the purpose of it, or the purpose of the name behind Bridge, is there was a lot of things that, you know, in my 5 years of marriage that I didn't know growing through this process of marriage. And a lot of things I stumbled over, made mistakes in. It was just like, man, I really needed people in my life who had been down the road that I had been down, or at least had wisdom to help me navigate the path that I was going down. And I didn't really have that. And it wasn't that I didn't have it. I didn't know how to connect with another brother. I didn't know how to open my mouth and say, hey, man, listen, I need help. You know, this is where I'm struggling at. And the reason behind that is that, you know, as men, you know, we're not really taught to communicate. And when we do communicate, you know, it's while we're playing Madden or basketball or, you know, listening to music. I mean, there's not an actual time where there's an intimate conversation between a man and another man where we're able to really discuss stuff that's in life and that's, you know, that's important to us, the emotional struggles and things that we deal with that hold us back, that really come out at the wrong time. Like, you know, a lot of those things, there's not many avenues for men to grow into, especially, you know, when we're young. You know, you put two boys together and they're going to end up fighting soon, or they're going to play some basketball, or they're going to do something active-wise or playing with some toys or whatever. You put two little girls together and they're going to chat, and they're going to have My Little Princess and My Little Pony and blah, blah, blah. And this one is going to get married to this one, and the sky is blue and all these different colors and stuff. A man sees a color and he sees red, He sees white, and that is not even a color. He sees red, he sees green, he sees orange, and he sees blue. A woman looks at a color, she doesn't see red, she sees burgundy, you know, she sees teal, she sees hunter green. See, I can't even think of these different colors or whatever, because we're not taught to communicate in that way. We're not taught to see that way. And so because of that, we grow up and we get married and we go into something and we have to deal with this person that is totally different from us. And we got to figure out how to mesh these styles together without any real guidance, you know, but we're expected to know how to do it. And because there's not much education there, there's not much people, you know, not too many people who are reaching out, we become that turtle. We go into our shell. And a lot of times, man, marriages, you know, they implode because there's just not a lot of connection, and not a good enough relationship outside of the marriage to make the relationship within the marriage work. And so the purpose of the bridge is, you know, here it is that I'm going down this road, and I made this mistake over and over, and I'm having to. If you think about back in the days, man, when people would have to travel from one mountain top to another mountaintop, or from one area to another area, you know, before the Golden Gate Bridge was built, you know, they would have to get into a boat and stroke their way across that river. You know what I mean? Before a bridge was built, you know, they have to go across the river, and there was just no easier way. But then somebody built the bridge, and as soon as they built that bridge, no longer does it have to take now 3 hours to go across this big river. Now you just get on the bridge and it take you 15, 20 minutes and you cross. You know, I don't know, the Golden Gate Bridge isn't that long or that big, but you see what I'm saying? It shortens the process. If we can pass this information down, if we can create good intimate relationships between men, I'm not talking about funny stuff. I'm just talking about a man talking to another man about what's really going on in his life and about the things that he's really dealing with, his emotions, his emotions and things of that nature. If you can really just find somebody that you can connect with and share this stuff with, not only will it help bless you, but it'll bless the next man that's coming after you. Because I promise you this, man, I've only been married for 5 years, but I feel like I got a well of knowledge I can pass down to another brother who just got married. But at the same time, I feel like there's so much stuff I still need to learn. And I'd be a fool right now to allow what I know to keep me from learning anything more. So now I'm still looking. You know, I got two brothers right now in my life that I look up to, that I call on. Both are pastors, you know, and I get information I talk to them about things in marriage and, you know, I ask them questions and, you know, I consider them to be confidants, you know, people I can share stuff with that I don't have to worry about getting out to everybody else. But at the same time, you know, they need somebody else that they can go to. That's how God built this thing. He created this thing that way. So I don't know how I got on that topic, man. We're supposed to be talking about something totally different today. But, hey, listen, I hope that was a blessing to somebody. You know, hey, listen, you can always call in. The phone number is 657-383-0309. I know that identified with somebody. Maybe you're not a married man. Maybe you're just your woman that knows of a married man that's in this type of situation, or a man that's about to get married. Hey, listen, brothers, I'm going to give you this one bit of information that's going to bless your socks. Whatever you do, read. Get a book and read it. Even if it takes you a whole year to read this stinking book, read it. Because somebody has been down the road that you're trying to go down. They have some knowledge and they put it in a book somewhere. All you got to do is open it up and allow it to help navigate you. Because without navigation, you will get lost. You will. It's just automatic. You just don't know. Even if you had a father in your life while growing up, you still got to get some navigation. You don't know. You just don't know. And you may think you know, but you don't know. I didn't know. God created this thing so that we would have to turn to people, so that we would have to lean on relationships and have to turn to someone and say, hey, man, help me. Guide me through this. Life was created that way. That's why I don't care how good of you are at football. I don't care how much of a superstar you were in high school. I don't care how much of a superstar you were in college. When you get into the NFL, you still need a coach. The game is always evolving, no matter how good you are. Cam Newton, bro, you still got to have a coach. You can't play the game without a coach. It's illegal to play the game without a coach. You got to have one. God designed this thing that way. There's going to always be a coach. Seek out your coach. Who's your coach? Find them. Somebody. There's somebody with your answer. Whoever that is, make them give it to you. Be determined to get it because your life depends on it. Your marriage depends on it. Your children depend on you getting information from somebody else. And not pretending like you know everything, man, because the enemy to learning is knowing. As soon as you know everything, you can't learn anything. I'm telling you, the game is always evolving. It's always evolving. There's going to always be something different, something new out there. You got to figure out how to deal with it, how to face it, how to fight it, how to deal with your emotions as a man. You know, and I'm talking to men because I can identify with that. And, you know, I really hope that, you know, this message is being received. So, hey, look, man, we're going to get into some music. I ain't been playing a lot of D-King lately. So, you know, I might play a little bit of D-King tonight because, you know, that's my homeboy. I kind of like him. I think that he makes pretty good music. You know, he puts some God in his music. So we might play a little bit of that D-King stuff tonight, man. Dude, he okay with me. He okay with me. Let's get it to it.
Why wait for the song? Oh, it really irks me, man, the way we treat y'all, like he don't understand, like, he ain't know the wind was gonna blow. Listen, he knew it all before your knees hit the floor. He knew your grandma wasn't gonna make it to the morning. He ain't hard if he don't say pleasure in your morning. He ain't the genius that can pop up when you want him. So tell me why you're on the collar when it's storm in. You in the storm hits, it's not to blow you over. If you enjoy, you see his villain that'll draw you closer. But you so focused on the wind that blows, you miss the fact it's villain that'll ease your load. And then it's back to the same story. No pain, no glory. How you gonna rave with Christ if you can't handle the rain in your life?
When the storm hits, that's when you apologize for the things you do. Could have been prepared for him, but you chose to live how you wanted to. He's coming back. I thought you knew. Never mind. I know you do. Got your faith in tomorrow, but tomorrow ain't promised to you.
Round and around we go like Mary goes on his weary road. Him calling your name, but your answer is no. Or better yet, it's lightweight. Let me handle this lightweight. I get at you later. It's just too much stress on my plate. Excuses, excuses, man. Excuses, excuse me, man. But time don't arrive for men. Know that the season's your opportunity to be free. And all you got to do is receive. Do it now, why wait? Tomorrow could be late. Yeah, this is not a song, this is your way of escape. And I am not a rapper, I'm the leader to the way. Say you're tired of being lost and fall in line and follow me. I'll lead you to a place where there is life and turn to
lay. Storm hits, that's when you apologize for the things you do. Could have been prepared for him, but you chose to live how you wanted to. He's coming back. I thought you knew. Never mind. I know you do. Got your faith in tomorrow, but tomorrow ain't promised to you. When the storm hits, that's when you apologize for the things you do. Could have been prepared for him, but you chose to live how you wanted to. He's coming back. I thought you knew. Never mind. I know you do. Got your faith in tomorrow, but tomorrow ain't promised to you. When the storm hits, we're meant for cover. The storm hits, we're meant for shelter. The storm hits, maybe too late.
Peace. You touch the world for satisfaction, but I'm all that you need.
You should be calling on me. I made the real sacrifice so that you could be free. Come on.
Hey, don't believe the hype. You are important to me. My love for you is what real love should be. And yet you left me so casually. Where is your love for me? What are you waiting on, son? I got the love that you need. Hey, don't believe the hype. You are important to me. My love for you is what real love should be. And yet you left me so casually. Where is your love for me? What are you waiting on, son? I got the love that you need.
I ain't tripping nowhere yet, but I wonder where you're headed. Your life could be a trip, but it could change if you let it. Ever since I met you, you've been trying to overcome. I'm trying to get you full, but you're dying for the crumb. I got it for the free, but you will pay to be deceived. Down payment on destruction, then blame it on me. I know your heart is broken, but I know how to fix it. I'm anxious to get involved, but I need your permission. You should consider me. When you talk about giving up, I'm everything you need. Author and finisher, father and minister. All I am is for you. Chance after chance, started. No past this or no. Don't wait till you get sick enough, or when your problem's big enough. All a father wants for a fallen child is to pick him up. You should be enjoying life. I built all this for us. Never turn my back on you. I'm what you call authentic love.
I don't believe the hype. You are important to me. My love for you is what real love should be. And yet you left me so casually. Where is your love for me? What are you waiting on, son? I got the love that you need. Hey, don't believe the hype. You are important to me. My love for you is what real love should be. And yet you left me so casually. Where is your love for me? What are you waiting on, son? I got the love that you need.
It ain't always about what you go through. But how you go through, yeah, so go through. Cause without faith, the devil will expose you. He hates you, he's no friend to the good hearted. That's why he's always trying to snatch you back the way you started. Gotta increase your word, consume it all. Don't just be a hero, hey, do it all. Practice patience, learn to submit. Humility is key to subdue the offense. Fools rush in, hey, take your time. Say a little prayer before you speak your mind. Cause it ain't how you act, but how you react. And some things you say you can't take back. And pride and heavy thinking, man, I can't take that. But vengeance is the Lord's, man, he will pay back.
I know yeah. It's hard out here, but you ain't gotta see. Man, there's a God out here. You just gotta stand strong, no matter what, hold on. Cause you and I.
I hope this helps you, because it's helping me. Sometimes I struggle with who God created me to be. I ain't a perfect man, I be the first to say it. Some mistakes I made ain't even worth debating. Sometimes my flesh is stronger, over my pride I stumble. Everyone clapping for me, gotta remain humble. Even the best fumble, but they just try. Today I kill my flesh, but I gotta die again. Don't shed a tear for me, that's just the way it is. I'm getting so saved, the devil hating it. So he attacked my ankles, I attacked his head. I refuse to surrender, innocent blood was shed. Yeah, we all human, but champions don't quit. We take a lick and keep it moving. Stay focused on heaven, cause that's what we pursuing. So when the storm hits, we know that he will see us.
I know it's hard out here.
Hey.
He is alive. Hey, so that was like a D King mashup. I don't play many of my songs on the show. Matter of fact, I really don't remember the last time I played more than one song a night on the show. But when I started doing the show, I was like, man, here's an opportunity for me to play my music. So, you know, I thought I'd get back to that vibe, man, and just hit y'all with something, man. I've been rapping for a long time, for many years. God has blessed me to be able to travel all over, do concerts, man, in many different places for many different crowds, and to put music out that really is all over this world. And from that, I've learned a lot. But one thing I've learned is to really allow God to direct my steps. And so right now, you know, I'm doing a radio show, you know, just this past weekend, I went to a prison and preached, right now, you know, we're doing a radio show. I'm working on a new project, but whatever God does next, not whatever D King or Daquan does next, but whatever God does next, I'm all for it, you know, and I'm looking forward to it, whatever that be, whether it's preaching from a pulpit or from a radio show or just doing music, whatever it is, you know, I really just want to be used by God. So, you know, I want to give a shout out to everybody that's been supporting me over the years. Definitely shout out to my big little homie Norm, who's like the beat maker and everything, and then my wife who supports and kind of really helps to drive this train. But listen, tonight, guys, I want to talk to you about whatever your current trouble is, whatever the current situation, whatever it is that you're facing. Maybe it's big, maybe it's small, you know, who knows. A couple weeks back, we talked about going through the furnace whenever you know, kind of not strange about these fiery trials. When these fiery trials come to test you, you know, they come to test and prove what's on the inside of you. And God has really still had me on that. I haven't really been able to get off of that. I've wanted to. I have like several other things that's on my heart to talk about, but I'm not going to really preach that same message or talk about that same exact thing. But one thing I want to talk about tonight is when we go through whatever it is that we go through, and it's a guarantee you're going to go through something. You know, maybe you're not going through anything right now, or maybe you are. Maybe you're at the end of your rope. Maybe you're looking at your bank account and all you see is zeros and they're on the wrong end of the decimal, you know. Or so basically that's just like 10, you know. Maybe you just don't have what you thought you would have. Maybe you're not where you thought you would be. Maybe you're struggling at work or which in your relationship. Whatever it is that's your trial, that's your stressor right now, I want you to take a step back from it. Not that you can step out of it, you know. I wish, and that would be lovely. You know, it would be lovely to just be able to step out of your trial and just snap your finger and everything is good and whoop-de-doo. Nah, it doesn't happen like that. But I want you to kind of just take a step back and just kind of look at it from a different point of view. You know, there's this thing they say, the 50,000 foot view or 40,000 foot view. Basically, when you're looking at an issue from above the issue, then it looks a whole lot smaller than when you're right in the midst of it. And I kind of wanted to just step back for a little bit. And now take your focus off of everything that you're going through or that you've been facing or whatever. And I want you to look behind you. Of course, looking behind you is not going to show you anything other than, you know, what's behind you physically right now. But I want you to look back on the trials that you've been through. I want you to look back on what God brought you out of. I want you to look back on the trials that you faced in your marriage before, the times that you didn't have money and you thought this was it. You know, you didn't know what to do. You were stressing out. I want you to look back at the time when you was locked up in jail and not knowing, you know, if anybody cared on the outside. Look back at when you were taking that test and you just wanted God to just speed up time. You didn't even care about finishing the test. You just wanted the time to be over because the test was so hard. You know, whatever it was, you know, look back at it. And I want you to just thank God, because so often God brings us out of something and we thank him in that moment. And then we go through something else and we forget how he brought us out before, the miracles that he did before, the blessing, the favor that he showed us in the midst of everything that we went through. You know, how is it that you feel like you're dying, you're going through the worst trial ever, but yet still you got a roof over your head, you got food in your belly, and, you know, you may have a couple of dimes and ducats in the bank. But either way, God is somehow, he's keeping you. He's kept you through all of that, in the midst of all of that. No matter how bad a storm can be. And trust me, I hate storms just as much as the next man. I've never lost everything in a storm. But I've lost things in a storm. But there are people who lost everything in a storm. You think about Hurricane Katrina or Wilma or Hurricane Andrew, you know, these big, massive storms that came and destroyed everything. And it was just nothing but destruction and chaos all around. And some people lost their lives. Some people lost their livelihood. Some people lost their businesses, their nest egg, everything that they worked for. And at the end of it, they had to deal with the cleanup process, the rebuilding process, facing what was lost. But out of everything that was lost, Miami is still intact. As a matter of fact, Miami's bigger. There are more people living in Miami now. I'm talking about, you know, Hurricane Andrew after one of the worst storms, if not the worst storm to ever hit Florida. Years later, the economy of Miami bounced back, millions of dollars flowing through that place, all type of infrastructure, the basketball arena being built. I mean, you know, you go down, you see Bayside, you see the malls, go to South Beach. I mean, what storm? Hurricane what? I mean, there's still some remnants of it. Like when I go back to my wife's parents' house in Miami prior to Hurricane Andrew, she tells me all the time how there was a mango tree in their backyard, and it used to grow these big, beautiful, full mangoes. It grows mangoes still, but the mangoes, the fruit is small. The tree was affected by the storm. So, dang, they lost the beautiful mangoes, but the house is still there. You see what I'm saying? The house is still there. As a matter of fact, not only is the house there, but they built onto the house. Like, the house is bigger, much bigger than it was prior to Hurricane Andrew. They didn't just build again, but they built more. And what I'm trying to show you here is, regardless of how major your storm may be right now or how big it may be right now, it's going to pass. And even if you lose some things, even if you have to rebuild in certain areas, you have to start over, it's going to happen. You're going to start over because you got to. But you don't have to start over with God. Like, he doesn't leave when the storm comes, and he doesn't leave when the storm passes. As the scripture says, he's talking to Joshua. He says, "Be not dismayed, for I am with you. I'll be with you wherever you go. Don't be worried. Don't be scared. Just trust me. I'm with you." There's another scripture that says, "Heaven and earth will pass away before my word ever fail. I'm going to always be with you." See, what I want you to think about tonight is the storm and how this storm affects us and how it causes us to get all in a panic and in a huff and to treat people differently, to go into our shell, to not respond in a loving way, but to react in a way that is not pleasing to God. It does not reflect our relationship with God. You know how you can be going through something, you know, you got some financial problems, and, you know, somebody who has nothing to do with your financial problems or your issues at all, but they push a button and you go off on that person that just pushed that button. They ain't even try to push that button. Now, maybe they did try to push that button, but they didn't know that they was pushing that button. Maybe they was pushing the button because they always push buttons, but they didn't know they was going to push that button. And then you just pop off on them, and now you got to go back to them and apologize because it really wasn't even about them. But you're going through so much right now that you're just on edge. So you've allowed your storm to not just affect you, but how you affect others, how you respond and treat others. So now your storm is somebody else's issue. I mean, it's your storm over here in Miami, but the person in Ohio got to deal with your storm because you know how to handle your storm. And then sometimes the storms, you know, we can't leave. We just got to put up the shutters, crank up the generator, buy a whole bunch of water, and wait it out. It's not easy. It's not fun. Can't watch TV. Bank account is depleted. But you just wait that thing out because it's not going to stay. But no matter what comes or goes, I want you to know God is with you. And here's the point I want to get to tonight, because I really wanted you to focus on the storm. I really wanted you to get a picture of how we respond and how we react and what happens to us on the inside of us, and then how we affect others based off of what's going on with us, how we respond to others, how we treat others. You know, just that whole thing about you going through a trial and now everybody else got to go through a trial. Your emergency is not somebody else's emergency. I can't stand that when somebody try to make their emergency my emergency just because they didn't plan properly. That bothers me. It really does. Like, don't make it my emergency. If you need help, you need help. But don't make it seem like I'm going to die because you died. Like, we both ain't going down. I planned a little bit better than you did. And maybe I didn't plan a little bit better. I know that kind of came across a little cocky there. But my point is that sometimes we can make our storm somebody else's storm. And that's not that next person's storm. They ain't going through what you're going through. But I want you to really get this picture in your head how we can allow these trials, these storms of life, the fires, the fiery darts, to really disrupt everything that's going on the inside, as if our foundation isn't secure. Like, I mean, if your foundation is in Christ, then no matter what comes or goes, you're going to be all right. Even if the house get blown away, the foundation is going to still be there. Now that we got this picture down, Pat, now that we've acknowledged the fact that, you know, when we go through some things, sometimes we don't handle them properly. Let me give you God's perspective on this. I'm going to pretend for a moment that like I could actually give you God's perspective, but roll with me on this. Here's God. Storm comes. There you are. Boom. Hits you. You're freaking out. Life is crazy. And God has been right there with you the whole step of the way. And while you freaking out, and God is there with you, and he delivered you from the last storm, he brought you out of the last trial, the last time you ain't have no money, you ain't know how you was going to eat, God still fed you. The last time you was in bondage with cigarettes and looking for a breakthrough, God gave you that breakthrough. Last time you was going through something with your spouse and you didn't know how you was going to make it through it and if you was going to have to get a divorce or whatever, but God brought you two back together and he bonded the relationship and he created a new bond. The last time that you was really going through something and you needed God and God showed up, and now this time you need God and God hasn't shown up just yet, you freaking out. And how do you think that makes him feel? God doesn't operate on our time. And I want to propose to you tonight that your storm isn't necessarily about you becoming, isn't necessarily about the fact that you didn't plan well, or your storm isn't necessarily about the fact that you're just going to have financial troubles and you know, the market is bad or you know, somebody just did something with your money or whatever. Your storm isn't really about your spouse not loving you the way you want to be loved or communicating with you the way you want them to communicate with you. Your storm ain't about your child acting up in school or not going to school and skipping school or you having this problem in your flesh or in your body. That's your storm isn't even about that. Your storm is really about your relationship with God. I mean, just humor me for a second. Just think about it. Because every storm is going to prove whether or not or basically every storm is going to prove where you're strong and where you're weak in your relationship with God. There was a scripture. Oh, where is the scripture? Psalms 119, verse 71. The psalmist wrote, "Is that it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." He's talking to God. He said, "God, it was good that I was afflicted. Thank you for allowing the afflictions to come, because in my afflictions I learned how amazing you are. I learned to trust you more. I learned where I was weak." There was Jesus himself about to go to the cross, and he's praying, "God, if it be your will, take this cup from me." The Bible says that he learned obedience through that which he suffered. Not that he was disobedient, but in every storm, what was it there really for Jesus to learn? I mean, he was God in flesh, but yet and still, that trial that Jesus went through taught him something, though he was the great teacher. Every trial we face is meant to teach us something. There's something to learn in it. And when we go through, instead of going through it trying to prove what we know, why not go through your trial or your tribulation or your storm seeking what you can find out, seeking what you can learn? Okay, you know what? I went through this, but what did I learn? I learned God gonna always be there for me. So guess what? The next time I go through it, if I act as if God isn't there for me, then guess what? I did not learn that God is gonna always be there for me. See, your test is gonna prove whether or not you really learn that God loves you. It's gonna test whether or not you really learn that God is gonna be there for you, whether or not you really learn that he is Alpha and Omega, if he's Jehovah Jireh. You know, we sing these songs, we pray these prayers all the time, but as soon as we get stressed out, it proves what we've learned and what we have yet to learn. I mean, if Jesus, the great teacher, Bible says that when God created heaven and earth, he said, "Let us make man in our likeness." Jesus was there. He was there from the beginning. He'll be there in the end of our beginning and our end. But there's no end or beginning with him. He is the end and the beginning. All wisdom, all knowledge. And yet through this earthly trial that he faced, the Bible says that he learned obedience. He had something to learn. That's not diminishing the power of God. That's not diminishing Jesus. That's just teaching his word. He learned through his trial. I don't care how high up you are. I don't care what your title is. I don't care if you're bishop, so-and-so, or Pastor McFiggity Pants. It doesn't matter who you are, who you think you are. There is something to learn in everything that you face. And it's going to prove where you are in your relationship with God. And the thing is about it is that you can learn the hard way or you can learn the easy way. I like to believe that Jesus learned the easy way, because he was like, "Okay, God, you know what? Nevertheless, if it be your will, man, let's do it. I'm praying that you let this cup pass from me, because I really don't want to drink this. I don't even like Kool-Aid." But I mean, it wasn't even Kool-Aid. It was like worse than Kool-Aid. It was like he was drinking gasoline mixed with oil and raw sewage with nuclear waste. I mean, that's the type of cup that Jesus had to drink, because he knew no sin. He never mumbled a word. He didn't complain. He never complained. He didn't fight with this. He didn't lie. He didn't cheat. He didn't steal. He didn't murder. But yet he died a death as if he did. He died a death as if he did something far worse. He died the death of every single one of us. And yet and still, he drank the cup. He took it. And there was something for him to learn. I don't know what your trial is today. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know how hard it is. I don't know if you're facing divorce. I don't know if you didn't do anything wrong. And your husband or your wife just cheated on you. And you feel like you didn't do anything wrong. There's still something to learn. There's something that God wants you to get out of this. Forget, see, we want to focus on what they did and what she said and what he did and what he didn't do and what my boss did and what my child is doing. And God, this child with this ADD, ADHD, I can't stand it. I don't know what to do. There's something for you to learn in this trial. There's something to learn. You lost your house. There's something to learn. Yeah, it's hard, but listen, the Bible says that God wants you to have an abundant life, but he's not just going to give it to you. It don't make sense. And when you learn something, you never have to learn that again. I'm going to prove it to you. Once you learn something, you never have to relearn it. So every time that you go through a trial and you begin to complain and get frustrated, even after God has delivered you from something similar to that, or he's delivered you from something even bigger than that before, and here it is that you're going through something, you're stressing all over again as if God never delivered you before in your entire life, you haven't learned. But I'm going to prove to you that when you learn something, you never have to learn it again. See, when I was a kid, I touched a hot iron. Left hand. I still remember the hand. That iron was hot. And you know, back in the days, our parents thought you put butter on it. That's actually the worst thing you put on a burn. You're supposed to dip the hand in milk to help the cells grow back. Butter only makes it feel hotter. Yeah. So I touched the hot iron, and my mama put butter all on my hand, which made it feel even hotter. I tell you what, I must have been like 6 or 7 years old, 5 or 4. I don't remember. But one thing I do remember is how hot that iron was. And I have since then, from that day forth, never touched another hot iron. I don't care how hot. I don't care if I turn it on. I will put my face close to it or my hand close to it, but I won't touch it. I'll check and see if it's warm or not. I'll put it on the ironing board and then pick it up and then touch the ironing board to see if it's hot. But I'm not going to touch that iron. I ain't stupid. I've learned already. I've been burnt. And you ain't going to burn me again. No iron, no iron, no. I'm smarter than you. I've been there before. I faced that trial before. And I know how to get victory in this situation. I'm just not going to touch it. Could it be maybe that you're facing a trial and maybe you just need to take your hand off of it? Maybe you're going through something right now, and maybe you just need to take your hands off of it because the Bible says that the battle isn't yours, but it's the Lord's. Could it be that maybe it's the time right now? Maybe this is your moment with God. Maybe this is your moment that you hear from the Lord, and God is telling you, take your hand off the iron. Learn from me. Got to be tired of getting burnt by the same old situation. How many times are you going to keep touching that hot iron? Let it go. God got you. I know it's hard. I know it's a storm. I know it's rough. I know it feels like you're losing everything. I know. A child driving you up the wall. Yes, God knows. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He says, I'll be with you even until the end of the earth. So he knows what you're going through. He's right there with you. Take your hand off the iron. You can do it. Back up slowly. Just drop the iron. Just drop it. Just let God touch it for you. The victory belongs to him, not you. So no matter what you're facing, if you're fighting, you cannot get the victory if you're fighting because it does not belong to you. The last thing I want to do is get in the fight, win the fight, and still come out the loser. Go in the fight for the championship belt and still come out the loser, didn't win anything because the battle was never mine. Come on, man. I don't know what it is that you need to learn right now. I don't know what it is, but if God did it before, he can do it again. He's a good God. He's never left you. He'll never forsake you. He knows everything that you're dealing with. He knows every trial, every struggle, every tribulation. He knows. He's a good, good father. He's a good God. He loves you far beyond anything that you could ever think of. There's no love on this earth that you can compare his love to. He loves you. His love is masterful. Allow him in, guys. Trust me. If he did it before, he can do it again. He is the same God yesterday. He'll be the same God today. He was the same God that brought you through Hurricane Katrina. He was the same God, forgive me, that brought you through Hurricane Andrew. He was the same God that brought you through Hurricane Katrina. He's going to be the same God that brings you through Hurricane 2016, Hurricane February 2nd, 2016. He'll be the same God to bring you through whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that you're going through. If he was God then, he's God right now. Just trust him. Take your hands off the iron. Hey, guys, I love you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. God is good. He loves you. He loves you. I know he loves you because he gave me this word for you. Whatever you're facing, just trust him with it, all right? God bless.
Big Dick!